let me just say this much, a sense of internal call as well as external call. External call means by your own local church that calls you. But you must also feel you are called and a marked man, set apart by God, to minister to His people and to the unsaved. And let us not forget, as a closing reminder, our primary calling in preaching, though we are to preach sin and misery and all these other things that we've emphasized in the last couple hours, remember, the great calling is we preach all these things in order to preach Christ. He's the great remedy. He's the one we want to hold forth as God's answer for sin, for unholiness, for every problem of our souls and of our lives. Christ crucified, wrote Richard Cecil, is God's grand ordinance. And Charles Bridges said, no souls therefore can be won to Him except by setting forth His name, His work, and His glory. And what a joy it is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure you experience that too, but if I preach and I haven't extolled Him, I come home depressed. Something's missing. I didn't set Him on high. But it's in the words of Charles Bridges again, who says, let Christ be the diamond to shine in the bosom of all your sermons. If that takes place, then I can go home and say, Lord, Thou knowest there was much wrong in the sermon. Weaknesses, I didn't set Him forth the way I should. But despite all my shortcomings, I did preach Him. And then you can really go to your inner closet and just pray that God may bless it and apply it. And the beautiful thing about Christ is there's so much to preach about Him. So many offices and natures and states, and they're so pertinent that there's just no end. 280 names of Christ alone in the Bible. You can preach a sermon on every one of the 280 names. So He's inexhaustible in His riches. And let that be your chief delight. Let your best home in this world be on the pulpit. There are times when we go to the pulpit beaten, wounded, discouraged, troubled, and what a joy it is there in the pulpit to cast all things upon Him and to preach Him and to leave all else behind. Okay, what I'd like to do is speak to you in what I think is hopefully combining three things: an experimental emphasis, a practical emphasis, and as Jay Adams says in his book, targeting the audience or coming right to you, this particular group at this particular time. We are, I'm assuming you're ministers, and so I'm going to preach to you as ministers just in 15 minutes. From Luke 22:31-32. And even as you listen, maybe you can feel the more experimental parts, the more practical parts, and the emphasis on the second person coming to you. The text is, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now it is remarkable, brothers, that these words are spoken by Jesus after the first institution of the Holy Supper. Sometimes we examine ourselves before the Lord's Supper, hopefully always. The Lord's Supper is a very special event, and after it's all over, we are prone to say, well, now it's over. But after the Lord's Supper, or after particular times of communion with God, times of joy and fellowship, can be times of great danger. Think of Elijah when he called for fire to come down from out of heaven, a time of a great event in his life. And a day later, he was many miles away in the wilderness, unprepared for what would follow, great blessing. And Jesus warns Peter here of what is to come. He says, Simon, Simon. And whenever there's a double reference to name, you know there's a double emphasis, a special calling of God. Be careful, Simon. Satan wants to have you, desires to have you. The Greek word here actually means he's put in his lawsuit to have you. Sort of like Job in the Old Testament. Satan going, as it were, to the vestibule of heaven and saying, I want Job. So Satan is saying of you, Simon Peter, he wants you. He's picked off one of the lieutenants. He's got Judas Iscariot. And now he wants the colonel. He wants you, Peter. And so, brothers, every servant, every leader, every minister is one whom Satan wants. Satan wants to have you. He wants to have your ministry. He wants to have your person. He would love to get you to stumble, to fall. You see, he wanted Simon Peter because of his past usefulness, his present position, and his future potential. And he wants you because of your past position, usefulness, your present position, your future potential by the grace of God. But Simon Peter didn't listen. He didn't hear the words of Jesus' warning. Christ was so sincere. Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But Peter didn't understand. He was standing too tall. He was the leading apostle. You and I, brothers, are leaders in the church. What a danger that we don't hear the warnings of Jesus. What a danger that we don't realize how susceptible we are to falling. You see, Satan especially targets ministers. He knows he can't reach Christ himself anymore. Christ is in heaven. He's beyond his reach. So, in his enmity against God, what Satan wants to do is he wants to get at those who would be most useful to the glory of God. So he goes supremely for ministers. Simon, Simon, Satan wants to have you, to sift you as wheat. What does that mean? Well, in Bible times, you know that in the Middle East, the typical farmer's threshing floor would contain both wheat and chaff. A separation had to be made between the wheat and chaff. And the farmhand would take an instrument called a sieve, and he would scoop up some of the material from the threshing floor, and he would shake it back and forth as hard as he could, and the dirt and the dust would fall through the sieve. Afterward, he would then, with a flick of his wrist, shake it back and forth 5 to 10 times, bringing all the chaff to the surface. The chaff and the straw. And then the worker would remove his hand and reach in, move his hand, and take out the straw and blow away the chaff, leaving the pure wheat in the bottom of the sieve. So what Jesus is saying really is, Simon, what God wants to do with ministers and with you is he wants to, what Satan wants to do is he wants to shake you back and forth, and he wants to shake you up and down, but he wants to leave on the surface the straw and the chaff to put you in his sieve. So that when you look at your own life, or when you look to your own ministry, all that will be seen will be straw and chaff. The old lusts of your flesh to strangle and overpower and hide the new nature within you. Now as ministers, I trust we are all acquainted with being in the sieve of Satan in one way or another, for greater or shorter periods of time. Those are times, brothers, when the waves and the billows go over our head. Times when frightened evil deeply embedded within us is brought to the surface. Times sometimes when sins we thought we had long mastered begin to creep up on us. Times in which, though we could once say with Job in trial, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, there are other times when under the onslaught of Satan we may curse the day that we were born. The evil, the lust of the flesh can be so strong. We have nothing to be proud of by our reaction when the devil hits us. So much straw, so much chaff comes to the surface. In times of great affliction, we want to be models. But more often we have to say that, like Abraham, when tempted, we perhaps told a half-truth, or like Jacob, we responded and said, all these things are against me. You see, Satan wants to get us into that frame more and more, and so he sifts us. He tries to reach us at times when we're cast down, times when we're downhearted because of failed sermons, or perhaps personal stumblings, or inconsistencies, or struggles with our own unbelief. He sifts us as weak. But then the great wonder is that this same Jesus, who as a prophet warned Simon Peter what's coming, now turns to him and says, I will be a priest to you, to intercede for you. As severe as Satan's siftings are, greater are Jesus' petitions. Listen to the text again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And the word in the Greek here is, I myself have begged for you. I have put in a counterclaim for you, Simon Peter. In other words, Simon, I have pleaded on stronger grounds and with stronger claims than the devil. The devil wants you, and he thinks he has a right to you because of your inconsistencies and your stumblings and your sin and your cursed denial of my name. But I have greater grounds because I've suffered for you, and I've died for you, and I've been buffeted for you, say Simon Peter. I've been buffeted. I've been, and I will be, cast into the sieve of Satan for you. And I will go through that sieve without sinning, without any inconsistency, without any falling into sin. And therefore, Simon Peter, I have a ground of justice with my Father upon which I can claim you. And you see, this is the heart of this message, my friend. That Jesus' counterclaim is stronger than Satan. Ministers can stand and be faithful. You and I can stand and be faithful because of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the great high priest who is ever at the right hand of the Father, never failing in his intercessions for us. What a wonder. Has it ever been a wonder to you that he never fails in his intercession? Joseph Irons once said, if he were to stop interceding for me for 5 minutes, my place would be on the bottom of hell. But he's there. He's there, pleading, interceding, caring, loving. And so Satan will be defeated in the end. But you notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you that you will not come into the sieve of Satan. He says, also does not say, I have prayed for you that nothing of you will fail. He doesn't say, Simon, I have prayed that your self-righteousness won't fail. I have prayed that your self-adulation and your self-courage and your self-ability won't fail. But Simon, I only pray that one thing won't fail. Your God-given faith. Really, Simon, and really, brothers, everything of us must fail. As ministers, we need to be mortified and crucified. That's what Jesus did with Simon, isn't it? He was going to stand no matter what everyone else did or said. Though all men deny thee, yet will not I. And he fell flat on his face. And he had to. Why? Because the straw and the chaff had to come to the surface. Simon Peter had to see who he was. And you see, the Lord puts us into sieves and allows Satan to put us into sieves because the straw and the chaff has to come to the surface in our own hearts. And what does the Lord Jesus want to do with that? Well, he has humbled himself even unto death to suffer and die and to earn the right to be that farmhand, as it were, to reach in and to take out the straw and with his own merits to blow away the chaff, to purify us in the fiery furnace of affliction and the sieve of sickness. And so Satan's desire is to overturn our faith by choking the wheat, but Christ's desire is to strengthen our faith by purging the wheat. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And the fruit is when thou art converted. And the word here means when thou art repentant. Strengthen thy brethren. I call your attention to one little word here. When. Jesus doesn't say if. See, as we've been talking, he's not an Arminian. It's not dependent on Peter. He's reformed. He says, when? I know from eternity that thou shalt repent. Because I have decreed it. And I shall bring it to pass. When? It's the word of the King who's in control. So Jesus not only protects Peter with a prophetical admonition, Simon, Simon, I warn you. He not only gives priestly intercession for him, I have prayed for you, but he gives him a kingly commission. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now tell me, brothers, had Peter not fallen, would he ever have been able to feed those little lambs? He was too high for that. Strengthen thy brethren. Feed the little lambs. Feed the young lamb. Feed the sheep. And after he fell and was restored, he could do all of that. He could reach out by the grace of God to the smallest in the flock, because he knew there was no better. And he could reach out to the most advanced in the flock, because he knew the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The same Jesus is still alive today. He is still at the right hand of the Father, at the New Testament mercy seat. And he still invites sinful ministers, like you and me, to bring all our cares, our personal and our official, unto him. And he has promised to be our prophet, to admonish us, to teach us, our priest to intercede for us, and our king to commission us. What a blessed Savior. What a great God we serve. Brothers, preach him. Preach him as prophet. Preach him as priest. Preach him as king. And God bless you and your ministry. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are often in the sphere of Satan. Help us to realize that it is purposeful, and that thou hast plans for us, so that we learn more many times, most of the time, in affliction than we do in prosperity. But Lord, help us to be more faithful in affliction, to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Walk thou with us in the burning fiery furnace, and that we may come forth from all the furnaces of men and of this tempting world without our hair singed and with no hurt, because that the fourth one, who is really the first one, was walking with us in the midst. Lord, that we may surrender our lives and our ministries into thy hands, believing and trusting in thee, seeking to follow thee also in times of affliction. Keep us from saying with Jacob, all these things are against me, but help us to truly believe all things work together for good to them who love God, to the called according to its purpose. And Lord, when we as ministers have a double calling, called to salvation we trust, and called to ministry we believe, Lord, we have a double claim for thy help, for thy strength. Help us to make use of thy dear Son, and to bring in our claim in his counterclaim to Satan, and cry out with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, a minister, in the precious cleansing blood and the intercessory prayers of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these brothers. And be with Dr. Piper as he ministers to so many ministers and seminarian students. Use him mightily, Lord. And help us to be faithful in the menial task and the great task, on the pulpit, in private, in the inner closet. Help us to be true to thy word and to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you so much for your patience and attention, and I enjoyed the class more and more as it went along.